From the halls of every school in Michigan, this is School Talks on 760 WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy. Sponsored by Wakely Associates, Plant Moran, Real Point, Collins and Plaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, Clark Construction, and by Must Construction Careers. Now, take your seats. Class is in session. Here's Robert.
With fall sports underway, we have a great lineup for you today. We'll chat with Mark Ewell, the executive director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association, Orchard Lake St. Mary's headmaster Leonard Karshnia, and athletic director Jermaine Gonzalez. And rounding out the program, we'll chat with Casey Cullen, the head coach of the state champion Birmingham Seaholm girls tennis team. All this and more coming up. This is School Talks on 760 WJR.
This is School Talks on WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy.
Joining us now on the program is Mark Ewell, the executive director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association. Welcome to the program, Mark.
Good to be with you.
Appreciate you taking some time to chat with us with fall sports underway. I wanted to hear from you as to what are some of the most significant changes or updates the MHSAA is implementing for this athletic season.
So the great news is there really aren't any big significant changes. I still have PTSD from COVID to where I, you know, think back to the fall of 2020 and what we were doing and making changes on the fly, and just had really no idea what the next coming weeks or months would hold. So now it really feels good 5 years later to really kind of be back to normal. Transfer rule hasn't changed. Our playing rules for the most part haven't changed, and we're really looking forward to another business-as-usual school year.
Sounds good. I do understand, weren't there some new divisional alignments or classification breaks that are in effect for this year? And if there are, how might these affect competition, especially for schools that are moving between classes?
So every year we redo our classifications or enrollment. So in other words, in every sport that we have, we take the total number of schools that sponsor the sport, and then we divide by the number of divisions. So most of our sports are played in four classes or four divisions. So if we have 720 basketball, boys basketball schools, we'll take the 720, we'll divide by four to determine Division I, Division II, Division III, and Division IV. Schools that fall near those cut lines, they can see themselves either move up or down depending on, you know, just the swing of a few dozen students can change a school's classification from Division I or Division II or 3 and 4 if they fall near that cut line. The challenge we have in Michigan is the overall size of our high schools continues to shrink, that population of kids in Michigan age 14 to 18 continues to go slightly down. So the average size right now of a high school in Michigan is under 500 kids. And so that's 754 high schools that we have, urban, suburban, rural, and every other place in between. So, no, classification is an interesting process each year. And the challenge is, you know, making sure that you provide some equitable divisions. Is our schools now range from our largest of 3,000 kids, which is East Kentwood in the Grand Rapids area, all the way down to some small private and charter schools that only have around 20 students.
Mm-hmm. You know, this may not be breaking news, but I understand boys volleyball will debut this year in the 25-26 season. How did this come about, and what are your hopes for the sport as it gets underway for the first time?
So we are super excited with actually two new sports coming on this year. The first, as you said, is boys volleyball. That will be a spring sport. And then our other new sport that just launched here in the fall is girls field hockey. So our volleyball numbers grew to where we have now over 100 schools that have been playing it on a club basis. And whenever we have an emerging sport kind of reach the magic number of 64 schools that are doing it on a club basis, that's when we'll look at official MHSAA sponsorship. So with us bringing on a boys sport, we also had to add a girls sport at that same time just to make sure that we were fully compliant, not just with the letter of Title IX, but also the spirit of Title IX. And that's why we have almost 40 girls field hockey schools that are competing the first time this fall under our banner. and look forward to having probably close to 150 schools that will debut in the spring with boys volleyball.
We're currently chatting with Mark Ewell, the executive director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association. Mark, I want to follow up. Girls wrestling and other emerging sports like volleyball and field hockey, some of them have seen rapid growth. And given the way you framed the size of high schools, have you learned any lessons along the way from both these expansions and how they are supported through these kinds of activities?
So that's a really tough balance, because you constantly want to look at what new or different offerings you can make to make sure that you're meeting the needs of all students. You know, you mentioned girls wrestling, that the growth of that sport for our girls has absolutely exploded over the last 4 years, to where we now have a separate girls individual tournament that finishes right alongside the boys at Ford Field. That's been awesome growth, and I think the reason we've seen girls wrestling explode is that's an individual sport that, you know, even if a school only has two or three young ladies who are wrestlers, they can still participate in the tournament series. It's not like, you know, new schools need 25 kids for a new football team or even a dozen kids for a new basketball team. So that's a success story that we're really proud of. The challenges, as I mentioned earlier, the number of high school age kids in Michigan is slowly declining. And so now every new sport that you do add, that could create new conflicts, new choices, new decisions that kids have to make. It also puts some pressure on schools to say, well, do we now need to offer everything? Because if, you know, we don't offer a certain sport and enrollment is really tough in our district right now, if we don't offer something, well, then could we potentially lose some students to that neighboring district who is offering that? And then the last thing is, whenever you offer new opportunities, that does put some pressure on your existing sports, of which we do have a handful of sports that participation also continues to decline. Our overall numbers are very, very strong, but I do worry about sports like softball, to where the numbers of kids playing softball now is considerably less than it was a decade ago. And, you know, sports like gymnastics and downhill skiing also have to really kind of hang in there during the numbers crunch. So at the end of the day, it's really trying to thread that needle of being as inclusive and responding to the needs of kids, but yet not overstretching in terms of what you're offering that would also hurt the current sports that you're already offering.
Mark, you're giving us some really good insight into the reality of school size and the effect it has on athletics. I'd love to continue this conversation, but I need to take a break and hear from our sponsors. And when we come back, I'd like to talk to you a little bit more about some of the challenges and opportunities that face the MHSAA. So if you'll stay with me, we'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. This is 760 WJR.
This is School Talks on WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy, sponsored by Wakely Associates, Plant Moran, Real Point, Collins & Plaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, Clark Construction, and by Must Construction Careers. Once again at the head of the class, Dr. Livernoy.
We're back here on School Talks, chatting with Mark Ewell, the executive director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association, affectionately known as MHSAA. Mark, before the break, we were talking about tournaments and opportunities for athletes. I understand the winter tournament calendar this year has been condensed from 5 weekends to 4. And what led to that decision, and does it somehow benefit students and athletes?
So that is a former school superintendent. You can certainly relate to this. It really, like a lot of things that we try to do, this change was really driven by academics. So the winter season is far and away the longest season on the calendar. What you know makes it even more complicated is the fact that you know, you have the 2 week kind of holiday break thrown in the middle, and you know, winter starts in October, early November, and doesn't finish up until March. Well, the spring state testing window has seemed to move earlier and earlier out of the spring and almost into the late fall. That, you know, state testing that used to fall on the calendar in the middle or later April is now moving up to early April. And so what a lot of districts did in response to that is, well, let's move our spring breaks earlier instead of that first full week of April or, you know, that week that's connected to Easter. Let's move our spring break to late March. Well, when schools did that, that would then conflict a lot of times with the last week of the basketball tournament. So given the fact that winter goes on forever, our schools were very strong in saying we would like the winter season to be reduced on the calendar by a week, and let's end the winter season a week earlier so that winter ends, schools then go on break, and now when schools get back for break, they can really be focused not just on the state testing window, but also spring sports can kind of get started on their own without as much overlap with the winter season. So we think this will be a good change this winter. Of course, all good winter planning is dependent on the weather and what kind of winter we do have, but fingers crossed here that this will be a good change.
As we've discussed, girls wrestling, boys volleyball, field hockey, and so on, the number of sports, although it might not be increasing substantially, it does raise the question of, do you have enough officials who are skilled in those sports to actually officiate games? And what is MHSAA doing to support the need for more officials to become licensed, especially as this demand increases across different sports?
So the good news coming out of COVID, because during COVID, that really was kind of a fast-forward button for any official who was thinking about, I'm getting close to retirement, you know, with, you know, the return to play and with testing and masks. And so we did lose nearly 2,000 officials as we were coming back from COVID. Now, the really good news is in each of the last 4 years, we've seen those numbers jump up almost 500 officials each year to get back to our pre-pandemic levels, which is really a good sign. The two things that we've tried to do to make it more enticing for folks to think about is, one, the money's gotten better. The game fees that officials are paid to work a varsity game have gone from as low 5 years ago to $70 to $75, and those are now anywhere from $110,000 to $125,000. So certainly the compensation, I think, has gotten folks' attention. And then the other thing that is something we talk about every single day, it's sportsmanship. It's fans aren't going to agree with every decision made by a referee, but it's okay, though, to at least respect the decision. And we find that if we can treat people in competitive athletics with just common decency, that we can agree to disagree, something that I think our society is kind of lost its way on recently, we found that we also keep more officials. So better pay, better working conditions is really the formula for not only keeping our officials, but also attracting some new ones.
You know, your points of emphasis about sportsmanship and the availability of officials, I think, to your point, resonates across multiple aspects of our culture. Not long ago, I was in an airport, and there are signs that remind you not to harass airport employees who are just sort of taking care of business. And it really is an opportunity. And I think this is lost in translation. Many parents don't realize when you're verbally abusing or assaulting an official because they feel like they made a bad call or something, aside from the interaction between the adults, the lesson it's teaching children is a bad one. And I know you've known this for a long time, but the whole notion of, teaching your children through your actions, not so much your words, there's really no better place for this than athletics when it comes time to maybe disagree with a call that an official has made. One final question for you, Mark Ewell, the executive director of the MHSAA. As you look forward and not only celebrate the great history of your organization, as you look toward the future, any particular goals or visions that you have for the organization as it supports the whole interscholastic athletics in Michigan?
So we just finished celebrating our 100th year. The MHSAA started back in December of 1924. So we've just completed kind of that 100-year victory lap that was part of last school year. And now as we start with year 101, you know, I think we need to continue to talk about how school sports are different. Our programs fit with the educational mission of schools. Our programs are extensions of the classroom, where it's not win at all cost, where it's not all about college scholarships and next opportunities, but it's really kids learning life lessons that will not only help them in their 4 years of high school and their careers and in college beyond that, but it really prepares folks for the ups and downs of life to where a good athletic season is going to have success and failure and high moments and times of frustration. And it's really a microcosm of life. So if we can keep teaching those lessons, both during the school day as well as after school on our athletic teams, I think we've got a recipe and a formula that will last another 100 years, and that's what we're really looking forward to.
I'm excited to hear those words of not only reflection, but encouragement. Mark Ewell, Executive Director of the MHSAA, I appreciate your time today on School Talks. As always, keep up the great work in the program and have a great year.
You as well. Thank you, sir.
Coming up next, we'll chat with the leadership team from Orchard Lake St. Mary's. This is School Talks on 760 WJR.
School Talks on WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy.
Joining us now on the program from Orchard Lake St. Mary's High School is Headmaster Leonard Karshnia and Athletic Director Jermaine Gonzalez. Welcome to the program, gentlemen.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
I appreciate you stopping by. So, Mr. Karshnia, Orchard Lake St. Mary's is well known to have a storied athletic tradition. And what values and standards do you think define the athletic program there at the school?
Well, Dr. Livernoy, I was blessed to be able to coach the gentleman next to me and his brother. I met the Gonzalez family back in 1994, and his mother Ruth and his grandmother and his auntie, who brought his brother James to me. And lo and behold, decades later, after I coached Jermaine, he interviewed and was appointed head varsity football coach and athletic director. And to answer your question, shortly thereafter, Jermaine came and saw me in my office, and he said he learned a lot from myself and Coach Porritt and Todd Covert and everybody through the years, but he wondered what I was looking for as headmaster from him. And I tried to simplify it into three realms, the first of which is always sportsmanship. Win or lose, handshake line, keep your personality, and remember you're representing St. Mary's, which is on the front of our uniforms, and we make sure that we don't have any of our surnames on the back of the uniforms because the names Karshnia or Gonzalez certainly don't supersede the Blessed Mother. So sportsmanship is the key pillar of our athletic program. I also spoke to Jermaine about spirit. You really can't play football or basketball or any other sport well unless you have the spirit of that sport in your heart. When you approach practice, when you approach games, you got to bring it. And I call that the spirit of competitiveness. My basketball guys had a hashtag, an acronym, SOH, Spirit of Hoop, and we try to approach each game, regardless of if it's on the ice, the field, the court, with the spirit of that sport within us. So we bring our very best talent to the field or the arena. And then finally, strive for greatness. And perfection is not attainable, but greatness is, and looking for that and striving for that, even if you come close to it, you're going to have a successful season and most importantly, a successful experience for the young student athletes entrusted to our care. So sportsmanship, spirit, and striving for greatness or continuing to improve each day. So I hope that I answered that well for you, Doc.
Sounds like a good recipe for success. Jermaine, let me ask you, this past year, your team's achieved remarkable success, including a state championship. What do you feel were the keys to your team's sustained excellence this past season?
I just believe we preach mentality with our coaches and with our players all year round. We think that is an important piece because our kids, our student athletes, they deal with so much nowadays with social media. Everything is just in their face right now, so we want them to kind of live in the moment. You know, high school go by really fast. Played here at St. Mary's and went by like a blur, and we just try to get them to enjoy the moments and make sure that they're doing everything with the standards and excellence that we like to do here at Orchard Lake.
And you know, according to my research, you had 5 state champions last year in boys basketball, boys golf, rowing, football, and hockey. Is that correct?
That is correct.
I think if we were in New York, it would be considered a dynasty, right? I think that's what they call it. What a remarkable achievement. Speaking of coaching, Jermaine, how do you and your coaching staff approach preparing for athletes given the pressures of now what is championship-level competition?
again, it's the mentality piece. We preach the mentality and we address the discipline side of it right away. Our coaches do a great job of, we don't tolerate, student athletes being late, tardy for anything. We address it right away, and we want that to echo throughout the, not just athletics, but through the school as well, too. So.
Sure. We're currently chatting with Headmaster Leonard Karshnia and Athletic Director Jermaine Gonzalez from Orchard Lake St. Mary's High School. Following that thought, Mr. Karshnia, and these recent state championships obviously have generated an enormous amount of excitement in the community. And how has this success impacted the school spirit at St. Mary's?
Well, the entire constituency is proud of us and they want to be a part of it. And from bookstore sales of OLSM gear to Clarence Constantakis, who is a donor of ours, Dr. Livernois, class of 1944. He's 100 years old. So impressive of a hero to me. Graduated from St. Mary's on a Sunday afternoon in May and on Monday morning enrolled in World War II voluntarily, and a veteran of the greatest generation. And he asked me about our state championships and how proud he was. Our alumni, our parents, the students, there's locals, there's guys that just like to get out and spend $8 on a game and go watch high school athletics. You know, there's a purity to it. But from the faculty to the parents and, of course, the students, we talk sisterhood in our girls' division and brotherhood in the boys' division, and that all kind of melds together when we're winning, regardless of if it's a boys' team or a girls' team. And we come together, and it really, I like to say, pulls us forward through the year. When you win a district game, you know the regionals are coming up. When you win the regionals, you know the quarterfinals are next on the calendar, and it just pulls you forward and uplifts you and gives you a reason to go to school in addition to the history, theology, and trigonometry.
I love trigonometry. Athletic Director Jermaine Gonzalez, from your experience as a former standout athlete, and when I say standout, I mean standout, from touchdowns alone, I think, and now as a coach and an athletic director, what aspects of high school athletics have changed the most? And in your opinion, what has remained constant?
Oh, that's a great question. I do believe that what changed the most is I'm a big multi-sport guy. I think you don't see the multiple sport athletes as much now. A lot of athletes now is kind of, they got their specific sport that they focus on. So trying to find that balance sometimes has been a challenge. And also the social media, the right now in your face social media our boys deal with. I will say a constant that's always there is the standard of excellence that we bring at Orchard Lake St. Mary's. Mm-hmm. That's been a constant.
What ways does participation in sports at the school contribute to building strong character and leadership skills in students?
I think it goes hand in hand. I think when you have participation in sports, it helps, teach discipline. It creates an environment where you want to be great. You want to succeed. You want to excel in everything you do. And I think that bleeds over to the academic side and just the school side of things as well, too.
Mm-hmm. Headmaster Karshnia, you talked before the break how Jermaine was once a student. I'm curious, as the leader of the school and given the number of positions you've held there, how do you see setbacks and losses as opportunities to build resilience in children and help them grow? What's your thoughts?
My thought on that goes back to the Hall of Famer Coach Krzyzewski from Duke, who said he's been blessed to experience a lot of W's, which are wins, and a lot of L's, which are learning. And we like to do that. I often share that in coaching, I think the most healthy psychological place you can be with your coaches and your team is to win, but still have things to point out that you need to improve, whether it be film or recollection from a game or practicing and seeing your performance there. But you learn a lot when you're defeated, and it teaches you that resilience piece that Jermaine just spoke about that I'd like to echo on that. And I think, just the striving for excellence. And if you lose, you're certainly not happy. We're all competitors, but you have to keep your personality through that and do self-awareness and self self-assessment as a team always, and always strive to be better. And if somebody beats you along the way, you shake hands and you try to get them the next time.
You know, as and this may go without saying, but given all the excelling programs you have at the school, what are some strategies you have found that continue to foster that unity and sort of sense of a shared purpose or community at the school?
Well, you celebrate the kids, Dr. Livernois, you celebrate the kids. And I think in leadership, if things go well, you give the credit to your assistant coaches and your players. And when things go poorly, as a leader, you accept that responsibility yourself. So I've always tried to approach things from that perspective. But we have a beautiful chapel on our campus, and every week we go to church. We attend a Roman Catholic liturgy as a school, and it allows us the opportunity to speak to the entire student body. And it's a little more powerful when you're doing it person to person, and everybody's in the same chapel and same building than just over a PA system or a speaker in a classroom or something. So we're able to foster that oneness and that unity, and we celebrate our successes. And I always make sure, because I'm a dad too, Doc, and I want to make sure that the kids, that there might only be one five-star athlete or one valedictorian or one All-American, but everybody who's pulling together. And the old adage, it's not only what a kid can do for the team, but it's what being on a team can do for the kid. Mm-hmm. And I've seen so many student athletes that just being part of that team brings a sense of unity and belonging to our students, whether they're a starter or a role player or a practice player. And so we want to celebrate everybody who's a part of our success. And I think we're pretty good at doing that. After all, 145 years of our existence, we've gotten pretty good.
So we're currently chatting with Headmaster Leonard Karshnia and Athletic Director Jermaine Gonzalez from Orchard Lake St. Mary's. Following your thought on being a part of a team, Athletic Director Gonzalez, could you share an example from this past year where you saw a student athlete demonstrate some extraordinary character as a result of the culture in your program?
Well, I'll just touch on the culture of the program as well as just the school as whole. Even with our administration, I mean, hats off to, under the leadership of Mr. Karshnia, we had a gentleman who transferred in, and I won't say names or talk about schools, but he was going down the wrong path, and we were able to have a conversation. Family reached out to our admissions, wanted him at St. Mary's, and we met with the family, and we gave him a shot. And that's one thing about our administration, is that we believe, you know, we're a Catholic faith school, and we believe in opportunity and giving kids chances. And they gave this kid a chance, and I watch him go through our programs from a cultural standpoint, watch him develop, because he needed structure. He needed that structure. He needed things in place in his life to help him get through. And I watched him, he ended up becoming a captain for our football program. Now he's playing high-level Division I football. So,
fantastic. What a great story from where he came to where he is.
Absolutely.
Now. And, you know, I've learned along the way, there are so many Division I athletes who never make it to the pros, but what it took for them to get to that level transfers into so many other aspects of their lives. I can just tell you this. One of my dentists was a punter for Lloyd Carr. I don't think he made it to the pros, but he certainly is a total package when it comes to working hard and being great at his craft. And I always make sure when I go there, I wear a Michigan shirt, not any other school, like, you know, south of the border here. But anyway, one last question for you, Athletic Director. What advice would you give to other schools, ADs, or coaches that are looking to emulate the success that you've had here at St. Mary's?
Well, I definitely would say don't put the wagon before the horse. I think experience is a great teacher, but also surrounding yourself with great people and mentors. One I was able to learn from was the legendary George Port. I coached with him, and, you know, just getting advice from him, and also finding the right coaches that share your vision. I think that's important, you know, from a vision standpoint. And, you know, if you can do that, because as a head coach, you got a lot on your plate that you're dealing with outside of sometimes just coaching. So you need coaches that you trust and that you can operate and do what you need to do. So, and I think we've been fortunate as an athletic department to find the right coaches and people in place to do that. So I think those are key points for that. that.
Leonard Karsnia, headmaster, and Jermaine Gonzalez, the athletic director for Orchard Lake St. Mary's High School. Thanks for stopping by School Talks and sharing with us just some great stories and your continued commitment to students and the entire community is certainly commendable. And I appreciate you taking time and joining us on School Talks, and have a great season and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Doc.
Thank you.
After a word from our sponsors, we'll talk championship tennis. This is 760 WJR.
School Talks on WJR is sponsored by Wakely Associates, Plant Moran, Real Point, Collins & Plaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, Clark Construction, and by Must Construction Careers. Now let's get back to class. Once again, your host, former Superintendent Dr. Robert Livernoy.
Joining us now in the program is Mr. Casey Cullen, the girls' varsity tennis coach from Birmingham Seaholm. Welcome to the program, Casey.
Happy to be here.
I appreciate you stopping by. I want to give you a little perspective in doing some research on fall sports with the changes coming forward. I happened to come upon the fact that Birmingham Seaholm was, in fact, the Division II state champions last year under your leadership as a coach. And I think a good place to start would be, what does that mean to you as the coach? And two, what do you think are the key factors that led to that success?
Yeah, I think obviously it's awesome for me because I played at Seaholm. It's never easy to win a state championship, number one. Number two, we just, you know, put so much time and hard work. So it was exciting to get over the hurdle.
So, you know, after you win a championship, many people say the only place you can go is down, right, or maintain it. And given that, what do you see are new goals or challenges for you this year with the team you have now? I don't know what the mix of girls was on the team, how many are still left and so on, but what are some of the challenges you think you're going to face this year?
I think one of the biggest challenges is that motivation. We finished second the year prior, so the motivation was strong to get to first. So now to be able to motivate them to do it again, keeping that kind of high, you know, work ethic and getting after it in the off season. We actually have 17 returning, which is, you know, crazy big. We only lost one senior. So, that's good motivation for our girls because, you know, the younger ones are continuing to work hard and want their spots on the team.
And let me ask a question. Is the senior who left playing tennis somewhere in college?
She is not. She was one of the most decorated tennis players. She won two state championships, and then was a finalist as well. So, you know, she just decided not to, but very good tennis player.
Yeah. So having been a Seaholm Maple yourself, played tennis, and now with the state championship under your belt, give us some thoughts or insights on your coaching philosophy. And to your point about motivation, what are some things you do to sort of keep that energy going with the team?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things that people would say about me as a coach is that I'm very intense. You know, I try to push the girls as hard as I would want to be pushed, to really make sure that we're getting better every single day. In terms of philosophies, I think we're one of the most aggressive teams in the state. In doubles, we get to the net, we kind of have our will or have our way where we're attacking and getting after the other team. But in terms of philosophy, I think the number one thing people would say is aggression and energy.
Yeah, and, you know, with my limited understanding of tennis, there certainly is a mental toughness to it and positivity in terms of how you play. And as someone who doesn't really know much about tennis, how do you prepare your athletes to balance individual skills, you know, in terms of a one-on-one match versus something in doubles?
Yeah. So we talk a lot about, you know, the game being kind of 90% mental, 10% physical. So we do a lot of breakdown of matches where we're talking about, hey, what did you tell yourself in these bigger moments on the court, and try and get them to change their kind of thinking or their strategy. Another thing we also do is we have them run miles every week and we time them. And that's not necessarily physical because it's more that draining of when your body gets tired. Are you going to quit? Are you going to keep going? And getting over that hurdle where you know you can do something is great for mental strength.
And, you know, was it Pete Sampras? I think he was the guy that he won a championship at one time, and he had the flu or something, and he was in between sets, just terribly sick on the sidelines, and he somehow just powered through it and won the match. I don't remember exactly when that was, but it certainly plays into your point about mental toughness and so on. Now, without giving any strategy away as you try to repeat to be champions, are you making any significant changes or trying anything new strategy-wise with the players who are returning?
I think with every year you try and make changes just because people get to know what your philosophy is. So you mix up maybe your signals and play calls that we like to do. We make sure the new year, you know, we're doing more fakes or different plays there. You know, when you have success with something, I think there's, you know, you want to do a lot of those things again. You don't want to mix it up too much. But the goals and the challenges, putting that in front of them and saying, hey, these teams are gunning for you. They have, you know, this many players returning, and making sure that the girls are on edge and continuing to get better is important.
So we're currently chatting with Casey Cullen, the girls' varsity tennis coach at Birmingham Seaholm, and also the Division II state champions from last year. I want to follow up. You have lost one student to graduation, but the bulk of the students are returning, which means you probably have a nice large crop of now seniors on the team. And given they're now seniors, what kinds of things do you do with them to encourage leadership on their part or mentoring the next generation of tennis players behind them?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things we do is, you know, make sure that they're around each other. They're always giving each other rides. We don't allow them to kind of just go off on their own. We try and encourage, instead of their parents picking them up, hey, you're going to get to know this senior. You're going to be close with this person. And then, you know, as long as they're not playing off-season sports, we try and have them, you know, practice together, older with younger, to continue to get better.
So last season, what was your final record? Do you remember?
I know that we won every match but lost to Mercy, and we lost to Mercy at home.
Yeah. All right, we'll write that down. But if you could point to one moment in the season that you think had the best opportunity for character building for your girls, what would that moment be?
I mean, I actually wrote that down. Losing to Mercy at home was huge for us. They were the number one ranked team in the state, and they came in and beat us on our courts, and you know, they were excited and happy, but we made note of that and said we're going to get better from this day forward and see them again at the state tournament. And you know, that was great motivation for our girls, and that setback led us to success later.
So all things tennis aside, as a coach working with young students, what values or lessons do you hope they take from you through your coaching, not necessarily related to tennis?
Yeah, I would say, you know, we're trying to make great people. I mean, great tennis players, but great people that are hardworking, obviously, that are well-rounded, that look to be a better person and implement all of the things that tennis has in it in life. You know, whether that be, you know, a fair line call, the ethics, and being a good person that way. So, I mean, tennis is important, but being a good person is more important.
Well put, well put. Casey Cullen, the girls' varsity coach, tennis coach at Birmingham Seaholm, and returning this year with the Division II state championship on your belt. I wish you a great season. Appreciate you stopping by the program, and keep up the good work.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I'd like to thank our guests today, Mark Ewell, Leonard Karshnia, and Jermaine Gonzalez, and Casey Cullen. That's all the time we have for today. But remember, there are two ways to spell one and three ways to spell two. Till next time, this is School Talks on 760 WJR.